Morning. Good morning.
Good to see y'all out this morning.
Some of these things that I'm going to talk about today may be a review for some of you, and maybe there are new things for some of you, but I really think it's something that we need to look towards, and that is discerning the word of the Lord. Discerning His voice to us. Because see, as we review and as we know how to discern His voice, we begin to be able to identify just who He really is. Because His voice will come and speak of who He really is. It will also come and speak of who you really are. And so as we begin to learn His voice more exactly, we can begin to let go of the things that were a misrepresentation of His character. As we learn His voice more exactly, we can begin to learn just how much He truly loves us. And as we know that, then we know that we can set aside those things that have come to dissuade us from our faith. So, this thing called relationship, I teach about relationship a lot, and this relationship is something that requires communication. Because you can't have relationship without communication. But in order to have communication, then you really need to understand what the other person is saying. It's really hard to have a relationship when you don't understand what the other person is saying. So learning to discern His voice will help you to know what the other person is saying. One of the things that I see so often in marriages is not that there's really a major disagreement, but they don't really understand what the other person is saying. Not looking at anybody in particular, just looking at everybody, just make sure you all get convicted. Because see, when we understand what the other person is conveying, what they're really speaking about, then oftentimes the thing that we thought was in disagreement, the thing that we thought was in disorder, turns out not to be. If we understand the other person's intention, it relieves us from the pressure of the situation. I had a couple who came, and literally when they came and they sat down, one sat on one side of the room and the other one sat on the other side of the room, and they were facing away from each other. Okay, your body language can't get much worse. And it all turned out to be that there were certain things that were going on, because see, this gentleman was a contractor, and in his contracting business, he had a certain set of books, and then they had a set of books for the home, and he would tell his wife that, well, I expect that this job will bring me $1,300. And then he would show up with $500 or $600. And there was no accounting for what happened to that other $800. Okay, so the wife assumed that, you know, something was going on, but none of those things were good. And the reality was, what he was trying to do in his heart was trying to protect her from the ups and downs of the businesses that sometimes happen because, you know, we turned out we had to wipe out this whole other wall that we didn't know about. It took me a whole extra day, and all that went to materials. And so, basically, when she began to perceive that his actions were really, because he was like, if you want the passwords or any of that sort of stuff to this information, I'll be glad to give it to you. I was just trying to shelter you from what I have to deal with. When she understood that, when they began to have that place of agreement, now she understood this not as being something that he's trying to keep me out of, but something he was trying to protect me from. Very different response. They left there having a place of agreement between the two of them. Because they understood what the other one was actually saying. Not just the words, but the intention. When we understand the intention of our Heavenly Father, it will relieve us of the mischaracterizations and the misrepresentations that religion has spoken to us. Let me just read this. It says, the word of the Lord captures the soul, inspiring the mind and ignites the spirit. The word brings both completion and hope, even as it draws you closer to the will of the Father. The word of the Lord brings safety, well-being, and peace, even as a storm rages around you. His word will unlock the hearts of men. His wisdom coming forth makes wise the simple. His words are life to all who will eat them. His word will bring forth truth and order to all that it touches. Aaron, you looked to those things that were in your natural giftings and abilities for your identity. But he says your identity is now coming out of the place of the heart, the place of who you are in him. And as that place grows, so will everything else. Going back to the notes here. Stability comes as you listen and heed my words. The outlet of the flesh is curbed as you discover a new identity in me through my word. My word will not leave you the same, for it will call forth increase and correction, even as it brings stability in your walk with me. I delight in those who will dwell in my presence and receive my word. See, it's not just enough for us to hear, but we must hear with the intention of receiving. There's a word in the Hebrew called shama, and that means to hear with the intention of obedience. Shama, when we speak shama, when we receive in the way of shama, when we're hearing, that means hearing with obedience. We're acting on what we hear. Oftentimes, the way we can shut our hearing down is by not acting in obedience to what we have heard. I will reveal my true nature and yours in my word. My rhema word will bring forth revelation in my logos. In other words, the oral word of God to you. The revelation of God to you will bring forth revelation of his logos, his written word. Activation and manifestation result when logos becomes rhema in your spirit. The effect of hearing the word of the Lord, the effect of hearing the rhema word of the Lord to you, either spoken by someone like as I just did with Aaron, or by the Lord speaking it right within your own heart. The effect of that is an activation in the spirit. The effect of that is a manifestation of something in the spirit, because there's a place of activation within us. In other words, our spirit now begins to step out in faith on what's been delivered. There are none who cannot be touched by my voice when they will position their heart to hear. Each and every one of us can hear the voice of God. Why? Because he intends it. He desires it. We may or may not have exercised ourselves in it yet. But he will make up that difference as you pursue it. Those who heed my voice will prosper. Now, it was interesting when he was telling me that. I wanted to add stuff to that. And he said, no, just leave it alone. They'll prosper. Because, see, I wanted to put qualifiers in there. He's not interested in qualifying that statement. When you turn to hear me, you are no longer alone in dealing with your problem or circumstance. Every one of us desires to have someone come alongside, and we have someone who comes alongside called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, his whole job is to come alongside you and bring you up in the way of the Lord. Bring you into a place of transformation, a place of life. So with all that said, all that is just being to encourage you as to why we want to hear the Lord, why it's necessary for us to define these things and to practice these things. I want to give you 10 things that the word of the Lord will line up with. 10 ways to discern what you're hearing. The impetus for this was I met a young man and just extremely sincere. But in all of his sincerity, he had been very misled by what he thought was the voice of God, because he did not apply any of the principles. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe I just need to go back through that for everybody, for myself as well. Because the thing God wants to do is he wants to be clear with us. I'm going to just run through the 10 so that you can write them down, and then we'll talk about them. Number 1, it will line up with Scripture. Number two, it will be consistent with his character. Number three, it will carry the Spirit of God on it. Number four, it will have a godly effect when you hear it. Number five, it conveys the wisdom of God. And we're talking about discerning God's voice, so we're just giving out 10 of those. Number six, it will bear good fruit. Number seven, it will lead you to righteousness. Number eight, it will not be the voice of condemnation or religion. Number nine, the word will evidence the fruit of the Spirit. And number 10, it will be consistent with the testimonies of the patriarchs. There are some things that you don't find the exact thing, but what you'll find is that it's a similar to what happened to Isaac or Abraham or Jeremiah, or in other words, there'll be a consistency that goes along with something that's already happened with another. An example of that is that at one point in time, an encounter with him, he gave me something to eat, to consume, and that's very consistent with what he did with Ezekiel. Now, notice what I didn't say. The level of difficulty is not the determining factor. The level of whether or not I like it is not the determining factor. Whether or not the door is open or not open is not the determining factor, whether or not it's the word of the Lord. So many times I hear people say, well, you know, if the door opens, then it must be God. Hello? You think the enemy's not able to open a door for you? And you don't find out until, you know, 2 years later, and you realize I've wasted 2 years of my life because I went through a door that I should have seen but wasn't even God. Here's the biggest one in my book, the bearing forth good fruit. The word of the Lord will always bear forth good fruit. We're talking about discerning God's voice and the different ways to do that. But number one is it has to line up with Scripture. When the word of the Lord comes to you, whether it's from your own understanding, something that He delivers to you like the things that I read earlier, or it comes from the word of a prophet to you, when the word of the Lord comes to you, it better line up with Scripture. It will not contradict Scripture. In order for that to be the case, you first must recognize the preeminence of Scripture. In other words, that Scripture is the ultimate authority. Scripture must be the ultimate authority for truth in our life. If it is not, then we're basing everything that we hear and do on a lie. If we look to man to define what truth is, that's an ever-changing popularity contest. Only Scripture is inalienable. So it will be consistent with the Scripture. It won't contradict the Scripture. For example, I'll just give you a live example. I had an individual and we were working with this person, and at one point in time, they were confessing that they had this issue with anger. It wasn't me this time. They had this issue with anger. And in this confession, this asked, well, do you want to hear what the Lord would have to say about that? And so they said yes. And so what I did is I said, okay, well, Lord, just show them what it is that you have to say about that. And what they heard was, don't be angry. Well, now, is that consistent with Scripture? Ephesians 4 tells us, be angry and sin not. In other words, don't let that anger consume you. Don't let that anger take away and cause you to lead you into sin. But you can be angry or you can be upset with something because you know what? If you start looking to the Word, you find out that the Lord was angry about a lot of things, but He maintained His righteousness. He maintained His holiness. So when we heard this, don't be angry, I knew that wasn't the voice of the Lord. So we chased that little devil off, and then the next thing he heard was the truth. It will be consistent with his character. The word of the Lord will be consistent with his character. Tell me, what are some things about his character? What do you know about his character? faithful, righteous, holy, love, of course you would say, just, mercy. All these things are consistent with his character. When you start hearing something that's not consistent with those things and a whole bunch more, then you know that there's an issue. The Lord's not going to tell you that it's okay for you not to be accountable. That right there could have saved a lot of people a lot of time. Because see, the last thing we want to do a lot of times is be accountable. And the Lord's not going to encourage you in your lack of accountability. Because there's no truth and there's no light in that. It's not consistent with who he is. It's not consistent with his character. What you will find out is that he will begin to address you as a son. That's consistent with his character because he's a father. When he addresses you as a son, that's actually a good thing because he says he disciplines those that he loves. There's different ways of doing it, but yes. And it's interesting to note that the correction and the discipline of the Lord often looks much different than what our understanding of it would be. It really does. Because, see, he can discipline us in a way, he can bring correction to us in a way that still leads to life. It still brings life. When, as an earthly father, we bring discipline to somebody, it's usually just punitive. Why? Because we have a limited imagination about how to do those things. Fortunately for somebody in here, I was contemplating how many ways I could actually torture them. I was contemplating how many different ways I could figure out how to torture them and make them pay. And the Lord asked me this simple question. He said, "Is that how I treat you?" Now, is that consistent with his mercy? Is that consistent with his character? Was it consistent with what I was thinking? No. I really preferred what I was thinking. I'm just telling you, in my flesh, I preferred the way I was thinking about it. But the Lord brought truth. He brought accountability into that situation. And he made me look at the way I parent in the natural in a very different way. Hallelujah. If you want to know about his character, what his character looks like, then you can look to a couple places. You can look, the whole Bible tells you about his character. Every word in there is telling you about his character, telling you about who he is. But in Exodus 20, where he gives us the Ten Commandments, what is he really doing? He's telling us about who he is. I'm a jealous God because I want your attention. I don't want you wandering off and getting hurt somewhere. I want you with me. Every one of those things that he's telling us about there is a revelation of who he is. In 1 Corinthians 13, when he's talking about love, he's talking about himself. He's saying, this is who I am. This is my character. This is my nature. These are the things that I do. I don't keep a record of your wrongs. Once you've confessed it, it's done. I'm long-suffering. Every word in there is a description of himself. It's his nature to love. But he wants to explain that love in such a way that we can't miss it. That we're drawn into it. Because see, when you begin to look at that level of love that's revealed in 1 Corinthians 13, there's something that happens to you. Because you can't do that in your human strength. You might try, but I guarantee you're not going to get real far down the road before you figure out that didn't work. If you're really good, if you're really saintly, you might get a couple weeks. Some of us only got a day or two. It's his love. But it's who he is. Then the word that you get will carry the Spirit of God with it. The word that you receive from Him will carry His life on it. 1 John 4 and 1 tells us to test the spirits to see whether or not they be of God, because there are many deceivers out there. There are many false prophets. But the Lord wants us to test the word, because see, if the thing is there, it's more than just whether or not the word comes to pass. If it's a word of God, it will come to pass. But we need to test the spirit on it before that, before we even begin to harbor it and hold on to it for a little while. We need to see what it's about. Was the word of the Lord delivered in love? You know, I've been corrected and actually enjoyed it. Rejoiced for it. It all depends on how it's done. When the Lord corrects us, He does so in love. He'll bring a revelation to something, but even as He's bringing a revelation of there, you'll recognize that it's truth, and you'll recognize that He is giving you the strength to overcome it. Because it'll come with that strength attached to it. His command and His instruction come with the grace to bring fulfillment. You'll recognize that it has the Spirit of the Lord on it. It'll have life on it. It'll have hope on it. It'll have an abundance on it. The one thing that it won't do is it won't puff up the flesh. It'll poke coal in the flesh, but it won't puff it up. When I hear people going, "Thus said the Lord, you are a mighty, wonderful man of God who reigns supreme on all the earth." And okay. Now somebody could deliver something that's truth and sincere, and then, you know, when it's delivered in love and truth and sincerity, but when it's just delivered in pride and boastfulness, the words could be almost identical. For me to speak to Enrique and to give him a word about the love of God and how I see the love of God in him and how I see that as greater than most, that's just a revelation of truth. It's not prideful or boastful. But it depends on how you say it. So it'll have a godly effect. Number four, it'll have a godly effect when you hear it. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 says, "The word of the prophet is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort." Comfort does not mean the petting of your flesh. Comfort means it will be removing you from a place of hopelessness into a place of hope. It will be bringing you out of a place of grief and into a place of peace. Comfort will mean that it will bring you out of fear and into His love. God is not in your pity party. It took me a while to get that one. Because I could have some pretty good pity parties. And I thought we were all enjoying it. But it turns out only one of us was really enjoying this. God's not into pity parties. What He's into is truth. Because He knows that the resolution of your situation lies in you receiving truth. And you can't receive truth if you're staying in a place of pity. So the resolution of your situation comes as He brings forth truth for your life. And that requires that you look past the place of pity, that you look past the place of, "Oh, woe is me," and you begin to recognize what He's doing. When you recognize what He's doing, then suddenly the power and authority of God can come forth on your behalf. If you will turn this one to James 3 and 17 with me. I love this one. It's amazing now. See, if you look through this, you have to recognize that some of these kind of blend together a little bit. One situation could be a little bit of one, a little bit of another. And not every situation that you encounter, not every word that you're given will necessarily have to fulfill every one of these 10 qualifications. But these 10 places of way to discern, they better all have the wisdom of God. They better all bear good fruit. But some of the other ones depends upon the nature of the situation that you're dealing with and the nature of the word that came forth. But here, right here in James 3, verse 17, it says, that wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. See, the word of the Lord will convey the wisdom of God. The word of the Lord will always convey the wisdom of God. When it says without hypocrisy, sometimes we don't really understand that well. So what I'm going to define it as is it will be genuine. It will be pure. It's a little easier for us to understand. The word of the Lord will always be genuine, always be pure. When I do marriage counseling, the thing that I insist on that when we're in this room is that we be genuine with one another. Because if we'll be genuine in being genuine, in being whole about who we are and about what we're trying to say, now we can begin to actually make some progress. But as long as I've got somebody who's just saying what they think I want to hear and not being genuine, I can't help that. I can't help them there. We have to be without hypocrisy. We have to be genuine and pure, whole in what it is that we're conveying. The word of the Lord will always be genuine to you because He wants to convey all that He is in every statement. There's something we need to understand about the word of the Lord. When the Lord delivers a word to you personally, in other words, it's something that you receive. It's not coming from your local prophet or apostle or whoever. When He comes and speaks to you, every one of us, He speaks differently. Sometimes we'll see things. Sometimes we hear that still small inner voice. Sometimes we hear the audible voice of God. There's been two times in my life where I looked around to see who was talking right in my shoulder. And sometimes just something within us changes. We don't hear anything. We don't perceive anything. We don't see anything. I was upset, and now I'm calm and peaceful. And I felt the presence of God touch me. It's all you're aware of. It's okay. You got the job done. It all conveys and all comes through the presence of God, because the presence of God will convey a genuineness of His message to you. It will also oftentimes go against what would be conventional or earthly wisdom. I'm not saying God's a rebel. I'm saying the earth got it wrong. There was a day and time where I used to own this Mustang GT. And I had a son who was 17, fixing to turn 18. And the Lord said, give the Mustang to Nathan. And I said, get behind me, devil! Because in the natural, this makes no sense. You don't give a kid a Mustang GT with the 5.0 and a 5-speed and all the goodies. It's just not a good thing. It's just not bright, okay? It's just asking for trouble. See, that's the conventional wisdom of the world. You can see what the Lord knew was this. He said what He knew was that there was a situation between the two of us. There was a breach between the two of us. And this was the vehicle. This was the way to bring healing. Because He knew how much I adored that vehicle. And He knew that if I gave it to Him, then that must mean that I adore Him even more than the vehicle. And He cherished it and kept it for 15, 16 years. Because it meant something in Him. See, the wisdom of the Lord comes forth in ways that we don't understand. It doesn't always look the way that we would anticipate. One of the things that God can do with you is if you're in a situation where there's lots of unforgiveness and bitterness going on towards a person, and the Lord will tell you, just go give them a present. Now you'll find out real quickly who you're willing to obey. Am I going to obey my flesh? In which case, I'm not giving them no stinking present. Or am I going to obey the Lord and go bring them the present that he had asked me to give them? And if I get a bunch of presents next week, I'll understand. I'll go, uh-huh. The wisdom of God is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. It also goes on to say, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This word that comes forth, it's going to have an effect. It's going to be a planting, and there will be a harvesting. And that harvesting will come forth as righteousness when it's truly the wisdom of God. It will be something that is drawing you closer to our Lord. It said in here, it says, full of mercy and good fruits. If you look at Matthew 7 and 20, it tells them that you will know them by their fruits. That's speaking of people, but it also means you'll know the situation, you'll know the word. Because when we begin to look at the fruit of something, when I begin to look at the fruit of a relationship, I can tell what it's about. When I look at the fruit of a situation, I can tell what it's about. Tell me whether or not this one meets the test. The Lord tells you that you're going to marry somebody. And so, you're going to marry so-and-so. It just happens, though, that so-and-so is married to somebody else. Does that meet the test of bearing good fruit? Does that meet the test of righteousness? But there are people who fall into this trap. There are situations where people are looking to signs and things in the atmosphere rather than hearing the word of the Lord and rather than looking to whether or not something is causing them to move into righteousness. Just because the sun shined on you for 3 days in a row does not mean that God is in agreement with your plan. People will actually do that. But if you happen to be in Texas in July, it's really odd if the sun didn't shine on you 3 days in a row. But people will use that as their excuse because, see, when our soul gets attached to something and we want it to be, we begin creating reasons for it. We begin creating things that will be our guide and say our affirmation that it's okay. Here's another one. If you're a minister, just because the anointing flows when you minister or when you play your instrument or anything else, just because people get touched does not mean that God is in agreement with everything that you're doing. I had a gentleman who told me there was all kinds of unforgiveness and sin in his life, and I was trying to get him to look at it, and he said, well, it must be okay because when I play, the people receive, and they're receiving and they're seeing the anointing happen. I was like, no. Because they're receiving or not receiving is about them. That's what God wants to do for them. It has nothing to do with God's referendum on you. And it's really sad when we see those things, and you know, many, many preachers fall into that category. Because the word will stand and God will stand with them and he'll anoint them for the moment. They look at that as affirmation that it's okay to do whatever it is that they're doing. Something for us to watch out for. See, everything that is truly about God will be bringing you closer to God. It will be bringing you closer to God. So it's not just a matter of looking for a sign in the heavens. Now, the Lord tells you that, okay, for the next 3 nights, I'm going to bring a comet across the heavens to confirm the word I just told you, and the comet happens. Now you've got something. But just because you saw a comet doesn't mean that God says, oh, it's okay to go into this business or go marry that person who's married to somebody else. I mean, people will use all kinds of justifications when it's a justification for their sin. We can't justify our relationship with somebody that's illicit by whether or not some sign happened in the heavens because a certain individual saw rainbows, 3 rainbows in 2 weeks. He thought that it was okay to be in an adulterous affair. When it's a situation is leading you to unrighteousness, God's not in that. It's not hard to discern what the fruit of that is going to be, and it's not going to be good. But in the process, he was justifying and thinking that he was hearing God. We can look at lots and lots of things that are very nonspecific and claim it to be whatever we want it to be. And unfortunately, too many people are, if they're trying to follow God at all, that's what they're following is certain signs. But the Word says signs are supposed to follow us. We're supposed to be the one creating the shadow. The Word will always lead you to righteousness. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If it's not taking us into holiness, because holiness is our expression of the righteousness that we're given. We are made to be righteous by the action of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made to be righteous by our recognition of what has already been accomplished for us. But holiness is a choice. Holiness is when we begin to walk in righteousness. When we begin to walk, righteousness is just nothing more than agreement with the Lord. Right standing with Him. When we're in right standing, when we're walking in holiness, that's a choice that we get to make. And He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Word of the Lord that comes forth will bring you into a place of greater holiness as you walk through it. The very first Word of the Lord that I ever received was the gentleman who didn't know me from anybody, but he began to speak to me about how I spoke to Kim. Well, there's no way he can ever know how I spoke to Kim. I had never met him before. He had not met Kim before. In this release of the Word, not only did I recognize that there was truth in what he said, which was not a good thing, but there was also an empowerment and a desire that came up in me to do better, to make the change. See, in my experience and my understanding, all I was doing was duplicating the things that I was already familiar with. So I didn't speak in the way that I should have been speaking. But the Lord brought me up short. As He did so, it caused me to change a lot of what I say. It caused me to come into a greater level of righteousness with Him. That's His desire. To bring us into holiness. You see, in holiness, we're protected. In holiness, when we're walking in holiness with Him, now we're walking hand in hand with Him. Now we're walking in a place that is safe for us, and it's a place that will bring Him glory. It doesn't bring Him much glory when we claim to be a Christian and we're out there, you know, cutting people off in traffic and being ugly to everybody around us and, you know, letting our waiter know that they're very displeasing to us at the restaurant or whatever it is that we're doing. It doesn't bring much glory to God when we're not reflecting His nature and character. But when we walk in holiness, that's a reflection that brings glory. And His Word will not be the voice of condemnation. Nor will it be the voice of religion. By that I mean that it won't be the voice of stale, law-driven traditions. Because to me, true religion is that which goes and serves God's purpose. But that's not the religion that most of us have been accustomed to. True religion will focus on build relationship. It will build a purpose. It doesn't tear down and destroy. It doesn't lock people in and cement them into something that does not serve any purpose. But his voice will not be the voice of condemnation. It will bring conviction, and that's a good thing. You see, it's conviction. It's conviction that leads us to repentance, which leads us to life. The difference between conviction and condemnation is that condemnation ultimately will lead you to death, because all it does is just reveal more and more what you lack. But conviction will reveal not only what's going on, but it will reveal also the solution. True conviction will release a solution. Romans 2 and 4 tells us that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Number 9 was that the Word will evidence the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to find that in Galatians 5. So if you'll turn with me to Galatians 5. I want you all to be real familiar with where to go look these up. The Word of the Lord will always bear forth the fruit of the Spirit with it. Why? Because the Lord is the author of our new nature. And so therefore He created this new nature to be like Him. And so the things that are of the new nature will look like Him. The things that come from Him will sound like what our new nature should be. And here's a description of that. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against those such things there is no law. Remember when we were talking about earlier about the characteristics of Christ, we hit on many of these. These fruits of the Spirit are consistent because this is what the Spirit does within us. Galatians 5 and 22. The Spirit of the Lord will bring forth these characteristics because it's His nature. And He wants it to be our nature. Self-control there could actually be, because see, sometimes we get confused because ultimately we want to be given God control. So what's the self-control? What He's talking about is the discipline within ourselves. An ability to govern ourselves and follow after the things of God. Because, see, if we refuse to govern ourselves, then that means that someone externally has to do it for us. And oftentimes that doesn't result in things that we really want. He's contrasting these things to the things of the flesh. And now, see, verse 19 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. He goes on to talk about what you habitually do. You know, everybody's going to make a mistake. God's not going to condemn you for making a mistake. But what He is saying is that the Word that comes forth from Him will not look like those things. It's not going to cause you to envy. It's not going to cause you to jealousy. It's not going to bring you into a place of impurity or immorality. There was someone who gave another person a word, and the word was this, was that you are already divorced. This was given to a person who had separated but not even filed. Now, what's the result of that? Immorality. We need to know and understand that the things that we're hearing, if it doesn't line up with who God is, if it doesn't line up with His character, if it doesn't line up with His nature, it's not God. So the Word will evidence the fruit of the Spirit. If it's appealing to your pride or your vanity, guess what? It's not God. I know that's a shame, but you know, that's some really good words had to go right out the window with that one. It doesn't mean that God can't recognize who you are. There's a difference between something that puffs up your pride and your vanity and recognizing who you are. And sometimes, especially if we have issues of self-worth, recognizing who you are is a difficult thing. If you won't recognize who you are, then that forces the Lord to only be able to give you so much and when He wants to give you more. It's necessary for you to recognize who you are. And lastly, it will be consistent with the testimonies of the patriarchs. The word that you receive will be consistent with the testimonies of the patriarchs. Here it's really important to understand the context of what's being talked about, the context of what's being delivered. If you hear the Lord tell you, go and kill your son, is that in context? Abraham did. He took his son out to be sacrificed. Does this line up with the Scripture or not? When you look at the context, what was the Lord doing? He was establishing a covenant with man. He needed somebody to come into agreement that he could actually bring about the resurrection of the dead. He needed somebody who understood him enough and trusted him enough to come into that place and so that he could bring forth the authority of Christ into this earth and cause it to happen. Guess what? That event already happened. So if you're hearing that today, it isn't the voice of God. How many innocent kids would not be murdered? Because every couple of years we hear somebody who does this. And they're claiming that it's the voice of God. This is not the voice of God. Because God did that once and His purpose was served. And it doesn't need to be done again. And to do it again would be taking it totally out of the context that He was trying to deliver in His Word. We need to understand this word, it's a valuable tool. When we begin to line our life up with it, when we begin to understand it, when we begin to see who He is, we'll quit misrepresenting Him and we'll begin showing off who He really is. God desires to set forth a testimony. He wants to make culture changers out of each one of us. Every one of you is anointed for impact in your life. We are all anointed for impact. And for us to have the proper impact, we begin to understand, receive, and harbor His true Word in our life. And as we begin to dwell and keep that Word, then the life that's in that Word will come forth and the impact that He desires for us to have. There are a lot of things that are taught and preached that aren't correct. Most of the misinformation in the body of Christ comes from the pulpit. But when we begin to correctly identify the Word of the Lord, we begin to correctly identify His voice in us, then no longer do we fall prey to the deception or misunderstanding of another. When we know that this doesn't line up with my Jesus, now we can suddenly, we can make a difference and we can make a choice that comes out of a place of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. I just encourage you, begin understanding and learning and seeking Him for His voice in your life. He wants to speak to every one of us. Begin discerning properly the message He's given you. Because in that is your freedom. When we discern properly His voice, when we discern properly His intention, there's a place of freedom, deliverance, and healing for us. Amen.